Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God in Jesus' name. Amen. Colossians says, chapter 3, verse 17, and whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. So if we're going to pray for healing, Jesus' name. Going to pray for financial help, Jesus' name. What if you wanted to be baptized? In Jesus' name. Isn't it amazing? Everything we do. Amen. Would you kind people stand? Amen. I'm not going to preach very long, so you're going to have to listen fast. Amen. Every month I could go to another seminar on how to have revival. Everybody has some unique system for revival. But God's got the most unique system for revival. And I'm going to preach on the subject, revival. What is it? Amen. What is it? And when you leave here, you're going to have a different concept of what revival really is. So if you turn to Psalms chapter 85, Psalms chapter 85 and verse number 6. David saying, wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? What's the purpose of revival? That people could rejoice in you. The joy of the Lord is our strength. If you can't rejoice in the Lord, it probably won't last very long. And then Psalms 138 and verse number 7. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemy, and thy right hand shall save me. Even though I'm in the middle of trouble, you're going to revive me. Amen. Then Isaiah 57. And verse 15. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit. Why? To revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Amen. And then one more scripture in Matthew, the 9th chapter, in verse 17. Neither do men put new wine into old bottles, else the bottles break, and the wine runneth out, and the bottles perish. But they put new wine into new bottles, and both are preserved. Lord, we ask your blessing upon your word. Amen. Help us tonight, God. Amen. Anoint this pulpit, but probably more importantly, yes, anoint the pews, our ears, amen, our minds and our hearts. Yes, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The question I would like to address is, what is revival? Years ago, you've heard me say this on a number of occasions. Years ago, Brother Fitch had a heart attack in his house. I was working on a message on a Sunday afternoon, and Sister Fitch called and said, John, just had a heart attack. The paramedics are on the way. And by the time I got there, which wasn't but a couple of minutes after she had called, the paramedics were there, and they had the machines on him, but they said, well, he doesn't have a pulse, he's not breathing. And we said, could we pray for him? And after we prayed, God revived him. And they said, well, you know, he hasn't been with oxygen for 20 minutes or so, and most likely he'll just be somewhat of a vegetable. And he sang a special this last week. His wife said he's smarter now than before he died. Also, during a Sunday morning service some years ago, Brother Maurice Miller was right back there, fell over with a heart attack and died. He had no pulse. He wasn't breathing. There were a number of nurses that ran over there and tried to revive him. We stopped the song service. Everybody gathered around him and started to pray. And pretty soon the breath came back. And by the time the paramedics came, he was sitting up in his pew like nothing happened. And then we all rejoiced. We had an incredible song service because God revived him, and now we were rejoicing. Hallelujah. This was revival in its truest meaning in the church. Amen. Now I'm going to get deep, so hold on to your seat. Now, had these two men never been born, they could never have been revived. Is that deep or what? I mean, if they never went, you know, through the birth process like we all have, you know, there would be no chance of reviving them at all. I told you this is deep. Wow. Revival only applies when life is restored. Amen. All right? Had they never been alive, the term revival could not apply. And the word revival comes from the Latin re, meaning back, and the word vive, meaning to live. It simply means back to life. Amen. Okay, what are you getting at, Pastor? Well, we talk about revival all of the time in the church. We want revival. We're praying for revival. And what we're really saying is we want a series of meetings where a great evangelist walks in here with some of his best messages, and there is a move of God, and 50 people come in, are filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized in Jesus' name, and it just lights the church on fire. Well, we say things like that, but does this really accurately describe revival? You see, we first must be alive in the spirit before we can be brought back to life. Amen. You see? So revival itself is not for the lost. The revival is for those who already are saved. Amen. And there's a continuing process every week of revival in the church. It's not special services. It's something that happens on a continual basis. Amen. Turn to John, the third chapter, please. Some of you have read this already. John chapter 3, verse number 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Now, here's a man who knows all about religion, but he doesn't know about God. That probably entails 90% of those who are Christians today. Know all about religion, but don't even know who God really is. The same came to Jesus by night. Well, why night? Because I don't want to rock the boat. Maybe somebody won't think that I'm very spiritual if I come to somebody who's, you know, and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. You see, the miracles, they confirm truth. Amen. And we see miracles, signs and wonders in the church all the time. People coming back to life. Amen. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? So he's thinking about the natural birth instead of the spiritual birth. And Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Prerequisite. Now, I know we could go down to verse number 16 that says, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But does that negate, does that wipe out John 3 and 5? God saying, verily, verily, or truly, truly, I'm telling you, you cannot enter, you can't even see the kingdom of God until you're born again, born of the water and born of the Spirit. And verse 6 says, That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, You must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. In other words, I can feel the wind, and I can feel the Spirit of God. Amen. I can hear the wind, and yes, I can hear the Spirit of God. That word sound there, if you went to the original Greek, is only one definition, and that's language. So what it's saying is, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the language thereof. How do you know you're born of the Spirit? Because there is a language. Everybody has the same experience. Thank God. So God's dealing with, throughout this book, people who are Spirit-filled. And what he wants is to have a revival of people who are excited about God, who have been brought to life. Amen. And sometimes they're on a dying path. 911. There are 911 situations in every service where you don't know, is this your last service? Is this going to revive you? Or are you going to die? The word born means to cause to be or make alive. So you have to cause to be or made alive before there could ever be a revival of that life. There isn't a revival of sinners because they haven't been born of the Spirit, you see. My point is, first there must be a new birth before there can be a revival. Now, seeing visitors who were dead in trespasses, filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized in Jesus' name, gets us excited, and it well should. But they were not revived because they were never alive spiritually. When we became alive spiritually, all of a sudden we saw things and heard things and experienced things that we had. You cannot see the kingdom of God until you're born of the water and born of the Spirit. Now all of a sudden the Word of God jumps off of the page. You're hearing from God like you never heard. God sets up circumstances and what we think are coincidences just to show you, hey, I'm real. I want to manifest myself in your life. Revival is not the ingathering of the lost. Are you ready? Revival is the awakening and revitalization of saved people. So we're having a revival tonight. We're stirring something up in us tonight, you see. I drag myself to church here, but when I leave, I'm going to feel revitalized. I'm going to feel refreshed and stirred up because I heard the Word of God and I felt the Spirit of God, you see. It's a stirring of new life in us, or those who have allowed their spiritual sensitivity and passion to die, causing saints to rush back to the altar to pray and fast and have a desire for the Word of God and a relationship with God that perhaps hasn't been there for months. Now, I'm not so naive thinking that everybody is at the top of their game all of the time. I know there is a need for revival in every service. There's somebody who is at a point where, I don't know, can I continue to do this? If you continue to do it because of tradition or because the pastor intimidated you to come to church, it won't last very long. Amen. Lukewarm is ignited to hot. Right. God said, I'd rather have you cold or hot, but if you're lukewarm, I'll spit you out of my mouth. Right. See, because he can get a hold of somebody that's cold, and he can certainly get a hold of somebody that's hot. But somebody who, I'm here. I hope it isn't long. Make it snappy, and I'll be happy. Glory to God. Amen. It's falling in love all over again with the God that saved you in the first place. Amen. Getting all excited about what he preached tonight. Amen. Getting all excited. Did you feel what I felt? It's someone who is spiritually dying being brought back to life. Amen. This is revival. Amen. I'm not talking about an aquarium. I'm not talking about, let's all look good and stay in the pew and, just keep getting excited about God. But that's why David said in Psalms 85 and 6, wilt thou not revive us again that thy people may rejoice in thee? Amen. When we get to that place where it's hard for us to lift up our hands and rejoice, and I don't know if I want to come to church, I don't know if I want to read the Word of God, God, revive us again. Amen. Without a constant revival in us, our rejoicing and our worship starts to die. It depletes us of our strength. We have the misconception that just coming to church will make us alive. It doesn't, not any more than driving into a garage makes you a car. But there must be life that brings us fresh breath in each of our services. And you get out of it what you put into it. Sometimes we have this misconception that Wednesday is just kind of a filler service, But Sunday, Sunday, if I'm going to get my miracle, it's going to be Sunday. Amen. No, same God, same desires. Yeah, we're a little more tired on Wednesday because we've gone through a whole day, but maybe that puts us in a better position, because when I am weak, then I am strong. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. It's all about our perception of God. Can God do something great on a Wednesday night? There are people here who have been filled with the Holy Ghost on a Wednesday night because they didn't want to wait until Sunday. There are people who have been baptized on a Wednesday night because they didn't want to take the chance that Jesus was coming before the weekend. Amen. Hallelujah. Romans 12, verse number 1, Paul said, I beseech or beg you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen. There has to be a renewing. Right. Present ourselves before God. Amen. Reasonable service. Right. That we can be refreshed and renewed, that we don't have to drag ourselves from place to place and from service to service. So here's the deal. When the saints of God are in continual revival, they in turn will share the gospel with the lost. When you're excited about God, I'll tell you what, you cannot keep it within you. You can't force to talk about God, you know. You just want to talk about God because you are refreshed and renewed and revived. I got a little card today from Angie Reinhardt. Angie Reinhardt sat in my very first Bible study, and she now lives up in the Minocqua area, and she just turned 90 years old. And she was thanking me over and over for teaching her a Bible study and all of the prayers and all of the blessings, you know, that have happened in her life because of that. 90 years old, she's still in revival. She's still excited about the things of God. Sent us a check for the building fund, you know. My Lord. When the saints are continually in revival, they will create a climate in each of the services in which the hungry visitor can respond.
Amen.
You know. Yeah, you ought to come to our church sometime. Really? That sounds exciting. No, do you know what's going on in our church? Do you realize God is doing great things? We're celebrating every Sunday. Revival saints will focus on outreach and have a passion for the lost. And at a church where people are regularly filled with the Spirit of God and baptized in His name. But the ingathering of the lost is the product of the revival church, not the definition of revival. So when a church is in revival, when people are excited about God, there is a natural production of people who want to be a part of an exciting congregation.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
It won't be programs. It'll just be the excitement. As I was reading this card from Angie Reinhardt today, I was thinking about a conversation that I had with her. I think it was 42 years ago. She was my next door neighbor, and she simply walked over while I was cutting the grass, and I started talking to her about the things of God. I invited her to a Bible study. She and all of her family came in. Her husband was one of these hard cases. He didn't want anything to do with religion or God. And so she finally convinced him to sit in the Bible study in our living room. But she didn't want to tell him about the Holy Ghost that she had already received and was baptized in Jesus' name. So we're sitting in this Bible study. He's sitting next to her. And the power of God hit her. Her legs started jumping up and down and shaking, and the tears were streaming down her. You know, this thing was not done in a corner. And when God revives you, when God fills you with His Spirit, you cannot keep it in. Then you don't need to give toasters away or bicycles, because you got something much more valuable than something like a free meal. Hallelujah. Let the world have their soup kitchens. Let the world, you know, have their food pantries. We've got something much more than that. And if we're not excited about it, who else is going to get excited about it? Hallelujah. It was David's desire for God's people to be revived, not for those pagans that are around him. God cannot send an ingathering of souls to us unless we are revived with the same love we got when we were filled with the Holy Ghost. That's why a revival church is a church that is already on fire before any visitor walks in the house of God. and they see something in us. I walked into my first Pentecostal church service. I had no idea what I was getting involved in. I had no idea what those crazy people were doing, jumping and shouting and raising their hand. But I knew one thing. They were sincere, and they were excited about God like nobody I have ever experienced excited about God. Amen. Notice what David said. The people of God will rejoice when God revives us again. Hallelujah. So, you know, it's the pastor's responsibility to bring revival to everybody. No. Amen. It's each and every one of our responsibilities. Right. Doesn't take too many wet blankets to put out a fire. Right. All it takes is a few. Nothing happened here. Nothing exciting here.
What?
You know? That's why amens are important.
Amen.
Because somebody's agreeing with what was said from the pulpit, you see. The psalmist is encouraging us to rejoice when God's people are revived. Have you noticed that about 85% of the messages that are preached are for saints? You know? I told you last week, we keep stacking them up and stacking them up. And do we do anything with them? You have more knowledge than 99.9% of all of the religious people in the world. Because we not only have the Word of God, but we have revelation. We have insight. We see things because we're born of the water and born of the Spirit. And so 85% or maybe even more of the messages preached are for the saints. As a pastor, I spend most of my time keeping us revived so God can add to the church. If we're not revived, God won't bring people here. Please come to church. Please come to church. Please come to church. Will you live for God? Will you read God's word? Will you come out from among them? Please come to church. Please worship God. Because we have to keep this thing alive. Keep coming to prayer. Keep coming to men's prayer. Come to ladies' functions. We should rejoice when prayer meetings grow from a handful to a roomful. That says, and I'm telling you, this church on Saturday mornings, you know, for us to have 100, 150 people here, there's probably as many here on a Saturday morning as there is here on a Wednesday night. And I know that we've got lots of people downstairs in youth services and power hour and so forth. Our rejoicing should be when those that seemed half dead in the pew suddenly are stirred with a new spiritual appetite.
Amen.
Amen. Solomon's dedicated the temple with a prayer that God just couldn't resist. And there isn't a pastor that hasn't preached his prayer to his congregation. In 2 Chronicles 7 and 14, if my people, which are called by my name, who is that again? That's us. Shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sins and will heal their lands. If my people will be revived, if my people get excited, If my people are faithful, if my people will sacrifice, if my people will present themselves before me, which is reasonable service, if my people will do that, then I am obligated to have the in-gathering, the revival that they think they need. Revival is the awakening of those who previously had died. I have to confess that each Sunday that goes by and we haven't seen someone filled with the Holy Ghost or baptized in Jesus' name, I feel like I've failed. I have a responsibility, a mandate. I want to see this church grow. I have a greater desire for that than most likely anybody else in here, because that's the responsibility that I have. I teach as many Bible studies as I can. I put together as many messages as I can. I try to counsel. I try to encourage. I do all of those things, but only God can add to the church. But this message has given me some comfort, because revival happens every time we get together. Maybe you didn't see somebody get filled with the Holy Ghost or baptized in Jesus' name, but there was a revival, because my word will not return unto me void, you see. And every time you walk in here, there's something that happens to you that's supernatural, whether you understand it or not. I've taught hundreds of Bible studies in my living room and other people's living rooms, and I've seen people walk in with their arms folded and thinking, oh my God, can I last another hour and 15 minutes? And when the word of God goes forth, it literally changes them. There's a conception that happens, and there's a baby about to be born.
Amen. All right.
Glory to God. And the consequences then lead directly to an ingathering of the lost. That's why when people are just really not excited about God in a church, you're not going to attract the real thing. I don't want decoys in the pew. I want the real deal. And that happens because the church is revived. When someone has an emergency, they call 911. They can't wait until someone comes with the training and the skills to revive the loved one. Someone has a heart attack and you call 911 and you're wondering, when are they going to get there? Because I know that there are paramedics, there are trained people who can do their thing and revive them, and you'll notice that they're listening for the sound of the siren. And then they hear from a distance the sound of that siren, and they're somewhat feeling good knowing that someone's on the way to bring revival to my loved one. Church, I can hear the sound of a great revival. It's almost here. And then comes the ingathering. God's promised us. And I remember a year ago, Brother George was supposed to be here. He couldn't make it. He called me. He said, Brother Schumacher, I've never heard from God like I've heard this, that God is going to bring great revival to your church, but you're not ready. You know what that means? That everybody has to be revived. And then the ingathering will happen. Amen. It's our responsibility. And I know sometimes we're frustrated because we're Pentecostals and we know that God can do anything. He can bring souls. I get frustrated sometimes when I invite people and they don't show up. But maybe it's because God's waiting for a greater revival of us, you see. And we pray for healings and we pray for miracles. And every once in a while, yes, we see a great miracle, a great revival of strength. But that should be commonplace. And could it be that when they were building the tower of Babel, God says, the people is one, and now nothing will be held from them that they want to do. Could it be when we're all in revival, not just the ministry, not just the leadership, not just a few people who want to get excited about God, but when we're all in revival, God will say, now, throw open the doors. I hear the siren. And God will bring that revival. I don't know. We're not ready yet. What is it going to take? Prayer, scripture, fasting, faithfulness. Because nothing seems more important to me than seeing God fill people with the Holy Ghost and baptize in Jesus' name. You see, there can't be two truths. There can't be a church down the road that says, well, just accept the Lord as your Savior, or baptize any way you want, or when you believe, you're filled with the Holy Ghost. You can't have two truths. We have the whole truth and nothing but the truth. So help me, God. That's what I need. I want God to help us get to that place where we have to call some other ships because there's just too many fish. Would you stand with me, please? God, is there something in me that I need to change that we can have revival? I've had this discussion with Brother Coffey, probably Brother Bear too. Wednesdays are my fast days. And sometimes it, no problem at all. Today I was making the dog's food and it's looking pretty good. What is it going to take for us to see revival? But more important, to reach the lost. He sacrificed himself for us. Would we sacrifice ourselves for him and all those that are lost? The altar is open. Would you come?